Welcome to Head Over Feels, the podcast where we discuss matters of the heart while also using our heads, blending emotional awareness with intellectual relationship skills.
We promise raw, real, and sometimes ridiculous advice on love, sex, and relationships.
I'm Megan Sundra.
And I'm Fernando DV. We're here to tag team you with juicy insights, tantalizing tools, and sometimes embarrassing anecdotes in order to help you have the best love life ever.
On this week's episode, we'll be answering letters about cuckold regret, assessing attraction, excessive phone usage, and Becoming Nobody by Ram Dass.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you said that I did not look at that first question as cuckolding. So I'm really curious to hear your perspective because my perspective is totally not even touching on it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that.
Damn, yeah. It's such a fascinating topic. Yeah, it's a multi-layered fetish for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I was not looking at it as fetish. It's more like a whole different perch to it.
Yeah. So both worth touching on.
Yes. So let's do some house cleaning.
We're going to be doing a Facebook Live in January.
Yes, thank you. I was going to try to do that last, but then it started coming out.
No worries. We'll start with that.
So, yes, we have a Facebook Live event happening at the end of January. Keep listening because we will announce more details. There will be a prize at the end of the event. So if you show up at the beginning and then dip out, you will miss out on the drawing because you will not be part of it.
And you're going to want this prize. It's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
You can find the event in our Facebook group called Rebel Hearts. And once we create the event, we will announce it on the show and on social media everywhere so everyone will know the time and the place to show up. But it'll be a really fun, interactive Q&A session with us. Because I know we don't get to see your faces, and we want to.
Speaking of which, we do appreciate and are looking forward to some feedback. Mm-hmm. If you have questions about our responses to some of our things, do you have maybe you want to follow up on a question that we've answered in the past? Mm-hmm. Do you have, you know, concerns, or maybe you just have suggestions for topics? You know, please, you can email us at headoverfeelspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, and if you have a story about how our podcast impacted your life. I know I've received some DMs from people about this, but if you want to submit them, we'd be happy to read them on the air because I think it's really awesome to hear about the ways that everyone is up-leveling their sex lives because that's the goal of this podcast, really.
Yes. So. Yeah, sex lives, relationships, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also have coaching available.
Yeah.
So you can go to headoverfeelspod.com/coaching and you can schedule a free consultation call with us. And that's where we can tell you a little bit more about coaching, what it's like with us, whether you want it with both of us or one of us. And we can dive deeper into some of your issues there.
Yes.
And like have a little bit more of a extended back and forth dialogue and we can work through your stuff.
Yeah. And lastly, if you have any questions you want us to be read on the podcast, which will be shorter than the coaching, but hey, we'll do it in the most entertaining way possible.
Yep.
Then headoverfeelspod.com/contact will be where you submit them. You can be as anonymous as you like. Mm-hmm. And that's it.
Yeah, please send us your questions and letters. We are really excited to read them on the air. And nothing is off topic. Anything love, sex, relationships related, feel free to ask it.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do our best to answer it. Mm-hmm.
So let's get right into this this cuckolding madness.
Yeah. So letter number one comes from Samantha, a 41-year-old bi woman. She writes, "Hi, Megan Fernando. I'm worried I fucked up my marriage, but I don't think I did anything wrong. Here's the story. I've been married to my husband for 11 years, and it's been really great overall. There have been times when his libido tanked, or I was super stressed at work, and the sex waned, but typically we've had a great sex life. We've been open at times, at first having a threesome with a girlfriend of mine, maybe once a year. Then we did some swinging, which he really liked, but I got frustrated with the awkward socializing and never felt super attracted to most of the couples we met. So we've been monogamous for a few years since. He started initiating fantasies while we were having sex, like bringing up the idea of having sex without him with another man and telling him about it. I feel pretty neutral about it, but went along with it because it really turned him on. Okay, but then he started bringing it up all the time, and he got pretty pushy about the fantasies and wanting me to contribute details. Whatever, it was all hypothetical, and even though it's not my kink, I like turning him on. Finally, a few months ago, he told me he really wanted me to actually do it. I was hesitant, but I felt pretty cooped up due to COVID and thought it might be fun to at least flirt with someone new. Maybe I should have listened to my intuition. I met a guy on an app and went on a couple socially distanced dates and didn't feel particularly excited about him and felt weird and maybe a little scared about fucking him without my husband. We'd always played together. So I let it fizzle out. But he hit me up again last week and my husband got so excited and really encouraged me to meet up with him. So I did. We got a little drunk and ended up hooking up. It was fun, but I didn't feel a deep connection. When I got home, my husband asked me about my experience, really wanting every detail, and it turned him on so much he started masturbating while we were talking about it. But the next morning, he was super distant and seemed pissed at me. I've tried talking to him about it gently, but he pushes me away and won't discuss it. I feel really disconnected, and he stopped talking to me or even looking at me. I feel so helpless and indignant at the same time. I did exactly what he wanted. Why is he mad at me? I don't think I did anything to deserve this, and now I'm worried my marriage is falling apart, and I can't talk to any of my friends about it. Please help.
Well, thanks for writing, Samantha. Holy sorry shit. That's been, yeah, that it was an unexpected turn.
Yeah.
So I was approaching this from, you know, that maybe the fantasy was better than the reality for him.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, that he was thinking that he had a one, you know, that this fantasy like played out to the role of like, oh, he got his rocks off, but then maybe he's feeling very differently about it. Mm. Maybe about himself, maybe about you. I don't know. He hasn't communicated any of that, and at least that we've heard from your submission. And I suspect maybe he's realizing some of the unintended consequences is a rough word because I want to say like, or maybe just like, unexpected impact. Yeah. And that can happen with some, you know, with either, you know, something akin to, you know, swinging or hot wifing or, you know, cuckolding. Mm-hmm. Although it wasn't really a hot wifing scenario in that sense, but I think it's worth mentioning because it's similar in that like your partner is having sex with another person, mm-hmm. and there is some level of, and you're in that case that you'd be present for it, but in this case there wasn't any like awareness, but he did tell him all these details.
Yeah, the reason I saw this as a cuckolding situation was because he was getting off on another man fucking his wife, and you don't have to be present for it to be cuckolding. It can be distant, and then you just hear about the story afterwards and. It sounds like he came to it just sort of organically. Maybe he watched some porn and it sounded cool, or maybe that's what he was loving about swinging those years ago, was watching you with another man while you guys all played together. But maybe he didn't know what it would be like when finally acted upon, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe didn't think it out a lot or had one idea about it, but he only liked it because he was turned on and didn't like... You know, when you're no longer in that sexy headspace, you can have really different opinions about the things that turn you on.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. One thing that came to mind, you know, with this kind of thing would be either talking to, now I suggest maybe even a sex therapist, mm-hmm. but I was thinking couples counseling.
Yeah.
You know, more so just to ask if he's willing to talk about it or like what, maybe he just needs some space to process, you know? Because it's like the fantasy finally happened, you know, the thing that he's been like pushing for so long.
Probably built it up really big in his mind too on what it would be like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And maybe it landed very differently for him. Mm-hmm. You know, you can ask him if he wants to like, he could write to you in a letter or email or something if words are hard for him right now.
Yeah.
But until he speaks his experience, we don't know where his head's at. I wouldn't say that you've ruined your marriage.
No.
At least it would be shocking if he would be like, I'm leaving you.
Right.
Especially after so long and this being sort of like a bigger, you know, this, you know, him having this response.
Yeah.
But I would also, I think that, you know, whenever he's willing to come around, that I think it's worth, you know, sharing your discomforts around the situation because, you know, it's okay to have fantasies. It's okay to want someone else to have a fantasy. But just because you have it doesn't mean the other person has to be like on the board 100%. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it sounds like there's a bit of, you know, like your husband did do a lot of pressuring for you and you did it to make him happy. But you like also, you know, it sounds like you overextended your own comfort and boundary for his pleasure. And I think we sometimes can do that. We're just like, oh, well, I want to make them happy. So I'll do this thing, even though it's like kind of compromising my own autonomy in some way. Mm-hmm. And you can, you know, speak to that you're unwilling to do that again, to compromise, you know, your own needs and that it's fine that he has that fantasy, but it's not for you.
Yeah.
And that you also aren't the source of your partner's, you know, pleasure, in that you don't owe him anything. Mm-hmm. And so I think I worry about how that, hopefully that once you two can like come to a conversation about it, that he understands like where your experience was at, because great, he has that fantasy, but if you're not on board, it's kind of hard to enjoy something when one person is in 100% and the other person is not at all. And then you do the thing, and in a sense, you're kind of getting punished for it. It's like, that doesn't really feel fair. And it's like I don't know where the conversation is going to go from here, but it's like he's not taking as much responsibility. He's not coming around saying, oh, fuck, I'm so sorry that I pushed you to this. You did this thing, and then it's like a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. So I think he's got to do some ownership there.
Yeah.
And maybe having a couples counselor or therapist can help with being having a mediator, so that we can have that conversation if it's hard for him to have those conversations in the first place.
Yeah. And definitely find a kink friendly therapist. There are lots out there, especially if you Google kink friendly therapist, there are websites that have like a search function or an index of them. Because you don't want to go to a therapist or counselor who shames you for doing this in the first place. This was, you know, a fairly common fantasy that was consensually done, you know, maybe a little under pressure. And yeah, definitely examine that. But not someone who's just like, you basically cheated on your husband. Like, here's how you're bad and wrong. And like, doesn't even examine the husband's process with it. Like, understand that this is a pretty common fantasy. And it is also common within that to have a little regret, especially when you first start. I think a lot of people think the idea is great because they have like their dick reinforcing their mind in the moment when it's like, ooh, a pleasurable fantasy. Like, yeah, this would be great. This is a great idea. And then when like they actually do it and didn't anticipate some of the emotional responses that they had, then there's like some regret and some self-doubt, and maybe it felt like being cheated on and being shamed or being manipulated or cucked or whatever. And I think he needs to start to integrate his fantasy as something that isn't shame-worthy, that's totally okay to want and to enjoy and indulge in, and that it happens within a contained space. Like, if everybody agrees that this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it, then like the scene ends at some point. He can get off about it later, enjoy hearing the story. But I think he needs self-reinforcement and reinforcement from you. You guys got to talk about what that's going to look like. But reinforcement of like, this was just role play. Like, we did this for good fun times and everyone is just here to enjoy. It does not threaten our marriage, doesn't destabilize us. I never would mean to hurt you. I'm doing this for like, you know, for your benefit. And like, what would make you feel connected with me again afterwards? So have like an aftercare ritual, right? Like have cuddle time, have a romantic dinner together, maybe talk about the things that came up that were scary in the moment. Because you can enjoy how hot and scary the experience is at the same time. But like the come down needs to be a soft landing rather than just like, I did this thing and you have to be okay with it. It's sort of like, are you feeling tender? What did this shake up things for you? Like, how can we mesh our bond, you know, re-strengthen our connection?
Yeah. I like that. It's like the aftercare. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's aftercare in the sense it happens after the fact.
Yeah,
but I think it does come down to communication. Mm-hmm. It sounds like they're, you know, I don't know how long he hasn't really spoken to you, but hopefully he kind of has to come around at some point. And the communication needs to happen to figure out like what his experience is like, what's in his head right now. Because right now we don't know. And we're operating with a lot of assumptions.
Right.
And he's probably processing a bit, but you can ask him like what he needs and when he would like to set a time to talk about it. Cause maybe right now he's going through the throes of his own emotions and trying to figure out, but again, we just don't know. Mm-hmm. So I can only encourage him to speak up and to talk about what his needs are. So that way, you know that if this is going to be an ongoing thing, you two can talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I think you also have the right, absolute right. And I would probably strongly recommend that you talk about where you're at with it, and that you're not willing, you know, if this is something you're like, this is a hard no for me, and like you don't like that response. Mm. And also just speaking to like the pushiness, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And when you have this conversation with him, come from a place of curiosity, asking lots of questions about what he feels and why, what he would like, what the story he's telling himself in his mind about what the actions meant, because you may have a very different interpretations of what it meant. And then let them know how you're feeling and the impacts on you, and let them know, like, it's okay you're having those feelings. It's okay I'm having mine. Mm-hmm. I want to be collaboratively on the same team with you, working towards a solution that makes us both feel safe and sexy and free to express ourselves and enjoy what we want, and find the ways that what we enjoy overlap so we both have pleasure out of it. Yes. And if he won't have this conversation with you, if he's really shutting you out hard, like, try writing a letter or an email, mm-hmm. so that you can get all your words out and he can read it at his leisure. But man, if it persists, it's time to, like, call in external help for sure.
Yes.
Because you can't just sweep it under the rug and be mad and not speak for weeks on end and then hope it gets better. Like, that's just digging the wound deeper between you guys. Mm-hmm. So hopefully you can solve this together, that so such that you can have awesome, sexy times in the future in ways that don't cause quite so much turmoil and pain and confusion afterwards.
Yeah.
Because that's not sexy.
No, it's not sexy. And it can be sexy. You know, it can be sexy again.
Right.
If that's where you both want. So we wish you the best. Thanks for writing in.
Letter number two comes from Ashley G., an 18-year-old straight woman. And she writes, "Hi, Fernando and Meg. Can you give me some insight about how to know if you like someone? I've been friends with a guy, quote Ethan, since I was about 9 years old. Not best friends, but in the same friend group throughout all years of school. There was always a special connection between us. He's one of the only people I can talk to about really deep stuff, and we've built a lot of trust. There's also been a little bit of flirtation between us, like dancing together at school dances, going on long walks at night, talking for hours, and having tons of inside jokes. But I've never dated anyone before, mainly because my family doesn't allow it, and I don't think he has either. He's so sweet with me and polite that I can't tell if he likes me as more than a friend. But sometimes I'm pretty sure he does. He's been a bit more direct lately, writing poems for me and talking about, quote, us. I don't know what to do because I'm not sure if I like him like that, or even if I'm a romantic person at all. I know I care about him a lot, but the thought of kissing him or anyone freaks me out. I'm worried I'd lead him on, but I just can't decide what I want out of this or how to figure it all out. I feel tense around him now, and I don't want to ruin our friendship, and I know he doesn't want to either. What can I do?"
Uh-huh. Oh, thanks for writing in, Ashley. Communicate to him. That's what you can do. Oh, man.
But what would she say? Like, how does she even pull together her feelings?
They're so, yeah.
What even are they?
Things to consider, too. Ashley, you are 18.
Yeah.
And I know that there is a period of time that's pretty much between up until 25. I'd say give yourself a year, 26, just to acclimate. Yeah. That you need to give yourself forgiveness for all the things that we don't do well. No, we don't know how to receive hard communication when we're young.
Our brains are still growing till age 25.
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Yeah. And at that age, rejection can feel super impactful. Mm-hmm. It can feel like you're rejecting the person, but not the action or the request. Mm. And I think that's super important to separate that. So just because a no, you say no to their advance or to their request, that doesn't mean you're saying no to them as a person or rejecting them. You're just saying, like, I'm just not into the thing, you know, I'm not going to do the thing that you're asking. Mm-hmm. And I think that's okay. Mm-hmm. But I also know that we don't know how to receive that information very well. I think when we're that age, we probably conflate it, and then it becomes a fucking mess. Like, oh, woe is me, I've been rejected, and
I'm not worthy of love. I'm not attractive to anyone.
Yeah, we'll never love again. And it's it's super tragic and overdramatic.
Sure.
So
we've all been there, Ashley, trust me.
Yes. Yeah. But I think when it comes to this question, I'd ask him, what are his intentions? What does he want? And I think it'd be good to share where you're at with it too. Like, all the things you said to us, I think are absolutely perfect to say to him.
Ooh.
Because to say that you don't know what you want, you've never been in a relationship, and you feel freaked out about these things, those are all valid things. So, like, you just need to, like, be super clear about that and say, like, you're, like, my best friend. I also don't want to, like, ruin our friendship. Mm-hmm. But just know that ignoring this question is not going to, like, resolve it or anything. And also, you being honest may not get received well. And so there's a possibility this could cause a rupture in your friendship, but mm-hmm. that's less about you. It shows more about how he's responding and receiving mm-hmm. and hearing you versus how you as a person, because we don't have to say yes to everyone who, you know, advances us.
Yeah. Yep.
When we say no to him, you know, in this case, like saying no to him, you can let him know, like, I care about our friendship and I don't want this to, you know, impact our friendship. And then ask him, can you repeat back to me what you heard?
Right.
Because, and I think that's a practice, especially at your age, you definitely mm-hmm. should practice, because it's easy for us to be like, I'm hearing you tell me to fuck off. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right.
Like, did not say those words, uh-huh. did not imply that. Uh-huh. And that's important for you to be able to, like, see it, hear that, and make sure that he knows, he understands fully. Yeah, it might sting a little if he had this expectation or whimsical, like, belief that we, you two, were going to get together. Mm-hmm. But, and you might be shattering his fantasy, and that's okay, because it's just not shared.
Yeah. It may not be the time or the place in life for you guys to be together if that's not one, if that's not what one of you wants. It sounds like you're not sure what you want. So if you think there's a possibility that you might want to date him, and you raise the issue and be like, hey, so, you know, I know we're really close and we've been getting a lot closer lately, and I just sort of want to hear, like, what you feel about this that we've got going on. Like, what would you want from it? Do you want to date me? Do you want to, like, be boyfriend, girlfriend? I mean, I'm open to that. Like, if you are, you could say
yeah,
it like that.
Yeah.
And that way you can sort of just tell him you want to explore the idea. You're not, like, making any decisions or commitments in that conversation. No obligation on either of your parts. And, you know, keeping the primacy of the friendship as being really important helps have, like, a solid base. That, you know, you could even try dating. And if it doesn't feel like it works out, you could go back to friendship. I know that's really hard, especially at that age, but know that it's possible. Maybe one of you would need a break for a while of not a lot of contact before you can become friends again. I've taken years off with people and then got back in touch and had a really nice friendship. So maybe consider your own desires. Like, are you ready to date anyone, let alone this guy? Mm. Are you ready to kiss anybody? Because you can tell him, like, hey, like, any physical contact kind of freaks me out. It's super new for me, and I just want to, like, go at it at my own pace. Would you be willing to, like, hold space for that and be patient? And if he's like, yeah, we don't have to do anything or whatever, then yeah. that might be a really safe container to try out the experience of dating.
Yeah.
So you can work out your feelings by journaling, by talking them out with him, kind of like bouncing ideas off about what dating might look like if either of you have a certain vision in mind.
Yeah.
I think one good thing is to, that has always helped me when I couldn't decide if I wanted to, like, move forward with someone, is if I missed them. If after going on a date or getting to know them a little bit and then spending some time apart, regardless of how long, if I felt myself just naturally and organically really missing them and smiling when I think about them when they're not around and, like, looking forward to seeing them again, that's a really good sign. That's a really good way to assess that they, like, mean a lot to you. And if you get, like, butterflies, you know, then, like, it might be more than friendship. Yeah. You find yourself smiling to yourself in that giggly, like, ooh, kind of flirtatious yeah. and hope and potential sort of way. But it's okay to explore it and decide it's not for you. Like, you do not have to make any long-term decisions here.
Yeah. And if you do feel good about it, you say, so call me, maybe. Gosh, I really hate that song. Yeah, but either way, communicating where you're at. If you're not sure, journaling, you know, take a journal and really be clear on that and have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Share your fears, share mm-hmm, your concerns. Mm-hmm. So that way they don't think that you're just, like, trying to rip your heart out if that's how they're receiving it.
Right.
And that way they know you're trying to come over here with the best intentions.
But, yeah.
You know, you can only do your best. Sometimes even with our best intentions and with kid gloves, sometimes that shit just still blows up.
So true.
So just be prepared either way. I'm not a fan of, like, the ignore it until it becomes unbearable
yeah.
thing, because because now it's like you have this awkward tension between you and you're, like, not sure what's going on. And I think things are just better off just direct communication. Deal with it.
Yep. And it's good practice. Like, you probably weren't raised in a society, because ours is not all about the direct communication, especially within dating contexts. So it's good practice for you to like be addressing romantic relationships in an alternative and more enlightened way. And you know what? If you are vulnerable with him and tell him your fears and hesitations, if you request going really slow with this and he does not respond well, then he just let you know that he's not for you. That this wasn't a good match, right?
There it is. Yeah. All right. Letter number three comes from Jeff, a 26-year-old gay man. And he writes, "Hi, Head Over Feels. I have been fighting a lot with my boyfriend lately about his phone use. He's on it constantly," all caps. So you know that shit's bad. "Even at weird or inappropriate times. And I feel like I'm invisible when I'm with him because of it. He's not secretive about it at all. Like, he's giving me his password and leaves his phone open a lot, so I don't think he's cheating, but it's definitely destroying our relationship. He'll check it while we're eating together, watching TV, first thing in the middle of the morning, in the middle of the night, and sometimes immediately after sex."
Ooh.
"Like, he just checks out, even in the middle of our conversations. I try talking to him about it, but it always leads to fights because he gets so defensive and in denial. I know I'm not crazy, though. His usage is way above average, and he doesn't care that it's affecting us. I feel so unimportant and ignored. He claims it's totally normal, and I'm just being controlling. His, quote, freedom is really important to him, and I get that. But if I can somewhat control my time on my phone, why can't he?"
Oh, man. I'm sure this is something so many people deal with. Mm-hmm. I think I've been on both sides of this issue in my life.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tell us more, Mary.
I used to have very inappropriate phone usage and didn't respond well when called out either, I don't think.
Were you doing it like after sex?
No. Not most of these things that were listed in this letter. But not to compare, because what matters is how it impacts people around you, not how like... objectively too much or normal right. you are. You know what I mean? Because how do we measure that? That's tough. So really, if someone's telling you, hey, it's too much, then it is for them. And you have to like value their opinion. You don't have to agree with it. But understand that you're having impacts on somebody emotionally, regardless of whether you think you are in every right to use your phone as much as you want to. It's like, well, that has consequences.
Yeah, you do, exactly. You do. You do have a right to use it whenever. Just there was consequences for your actions.
Totally.
Phone use is like social media addiction. It's a thing. Mm-hmm. It's akin to gambling, because you never know when you're going to hit the jackpot. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll find the perfect costume on Etsy, but had you stopped a few minutes earlier, would you have found it? You know, have you found the funniest meme, but if you not checked your phone, would you have even gotten to it? Mm-hmm. You found the most inspirational quote. You see where I'm going with it? It's just like, there's always like a what if you pull the lever, like it could be a jackpot or keep doing it.
Those notifications give a dopamine hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't know if it's going to be an exciting text message or if that like red dot just means something is there. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It is like gambling.
Yeah. So, what I feel for you, because I definitely have very strong views about like the phone use. I think it's like how we communicate and deal with it is like the big issue. Mm-hmm. So, I've had success with making agreements and communicating around them. So like, setting expectations around phone use within your relationship. It's like, look, I don't like, you are an adult, you can make your own choices. And, but I would like to make an agreement of like, you know, after sex, I'd like to be able to cuddle first, not you looking at your phone. Mm-hmm. How you use your phone on your own time is one thing, but with your partner, with other people, that's where the impact can happen.
You have the right to assert your standards.
Yeah, exactly. So you could set like smartphone free zones, you know, or phone free zones if you don't have a smartphone. Mm-hmm. And so like where phones are forbidden. So example could be like at dinner, during family time, on dates, in the bedroom.
In the bed.
Yeah, in the bedroom. You can use, they call the hair of the dog to cut down on your smartphone use, which entails using apps to monitor and even restrict your smartphone use. So if you're hitting on the, maybe on the addiction side of it, it's like really just like it's impulsive. I think there's this app called Freedom. I used this a while ago, and that one is really cool because you can, when you get the app, you can also install it on your computer, and you can choose what sites are blocked. You can choose what times. You can lock it out to where like you'd have to like submit a request email to the customer service for them to unlock it in case you want to use it during a time that you're locked out.
Oh my God. So, interesting.
So it's kind of a forced, you know,
yeah,
way to like lock yourself out of it. You can also draw up a social contract where you can set up the do's and don'ts for your smart social use, including penalties or breaking. And, you know, psychologists have used social contracts for hundreds of years to help modify behavior. So it could be simply a contract between the two of you or an online service where you define your goals. Mm. So just like, how do you two collaboratively work on a solution here? Mm. So I don't think it says, please stop using your phone mm-hmm. and keep telling them, because that hasn't worked, right?
Right.
But it's like, you can maybe they aren't fully aware of the impact. Mm-hmm. Hey, like when you use your smartphone, your phone, when we're together, I feel like our time is invaluable. Mm. I feel like that it's that you care more about being on your phone than about spending quality time. And this is really important to me. So if you are going to choose to make, you know, the time with the phone, that's fine, but I'm going to choose to not spend as much time with you.
Yeah.
So we're just saying, like, look, there's the consequence to your actions. Like, I'm not going to want to spend time with people who are like actively on their phone when we're together. Like, I want to be able to like engage and like connect.
Yeah. And you can let them know that you're not making an ultimatum. You're not trying to punish him. You're just like setting your own boundary. And like the if then consequences statement is not the same thing as an ultimatum, right? Mm-hmm. They sound alike sometimes, but yes. Letting him know that like this is what I have to do in order to take care of myself. I'm not doing it to impact you negatively, to punish you. Mm-hmm. And coming to that conversation with compassion and, you know, those I statements that Fernando said are fabulous, because you may have fallen into the dynamic so far of blaming him and judging him for how he's been using his phone. And that's just a great way to turn someone off and like push them away further and put them in a defensive stance.
Yes.
So instead of judging him as a person, you're just talking about his actions. You know, it's not the fundamental attribution fallacy mm-hmm. where because you don't like what he did, then you don't like him as a person, because yes. he may be interpreting that. So you can let him know, like, I love you and I want to spend time with you and I really cherish our quality time, and the phone's been getting in the way. And so can we work together to create a solution that lets you use it, but also like lets us feel connected? And being curious, asking him, like, why do you go on your phone so much? Can we really dig into the emotional reasons? Because sometimes people aren't fully aware until they really analyze it. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes it's a stress release or escapism or a time killer or like a novelty thing with the dopamine. Or some people just need a lot of stimulation. And so they're kind of just like looking to this device to get it a little excessively. So you could propose to go to an Airbnb or on a camping trip that's phone free and like have a little detox together if mm-hmm. he's willing to consent to that. It could be useful and connective. So I think changing your approach in the conversation could be really fruitful. And if he still does not respond after you try this a few times, you can make an ultimatum. Like, you're allowed to choose the conditions under which you date someone.
Yes.
And let them know that, yeah. hey, I'm becoming more and more unsatisfied with this relationship. Like, please come to a solution with me or else I don't think this could last. And like, sometimes people need a fucking fire under their ass to make them realize the depth of the impact they're making on yeah. someone.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. Yeah. Just be collaborative. Talk about what your needs are mm-hmm. and that, you know, it probably makes you feel like your phone, the phone's really placing your importance in the relationship.
Yeah.
And that doesn't feel good.
No. So. Not sexy at all.
No.
So we hope you come to a solution together and that you guys can kind of get it to a place that works for both of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So our toolbox today is Becoming Nobody by Baba Ram Dass.
So this is, to clarify, a 5-hour audiobook, not the 2019 film of the same title. So there is a documentary, same title, and it is about Ram Dass, and it involves some of the talks that are in this audiobook, but the audiobook is just 5 separate, roughly hour-long segments of him giving talks to a live audience. So I haven't heard great things about the documentary. You can totally check it out, but we're just going to talk about the audiobook today. Yeah.
And then you must be wondering, why are we talking about Baba Ram Dass
on
a Relationship Advice uh-huh. podcast? Well, if you're not familiar with Ram Dass, or Baba Ram Dass, however you want to call him, he's a pretty fascinating guru. He's got quite a story about how he kind of came to this guru role. I don't even know how he describes himself even. But he's a very, you could say, a woke individual,
yeah.
but less of the pretentious type and more like, this dude really did work.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever heard of or seen the book Be Here Now, mm-hmm. highly, highly recommend that book, because that book goes over his like riches to rags story, because he used to be a very affluent, wealthy person and was just like feeling, you say, a lack of missing something in his life. Got super heavily into psychedelics, met someone who would eventually become his guru, who took a vial of acid and was like, it gave me a headache. And him being like, what the hell? How does this person take a vial, which is intense? Most people would lose their goddamn mind.
Yeah.
And was still able to function afterwards. Like, that's, so he, you know, went and in a sense for just let go of all these attachments and start pursuing kind of like more deeply spiritual path. Mm-hmm. And he's got such a way of communicating with people and his experiences. And I love how his demeanor, he's like, kind of like witty and also brilliant.
All
of it.
He's incredibly humble for how wise and spiritual he is.
Yes.
I don't even know if he would be down with the title of guru at times. Like, he's, you know, he's like, I studied and learned a lot of things, but I'm on a karmic journey just like everyone else. And I love his approachability. I think that really comes through in this audiobook. Like, it's him. I guess you could describe it as spiritual stand-up.
This is perfect.
It's great because he drops a lot of wisdom and a lot of like ways to look at life differently and in a more integrated way, to the ways to look at suffering, sadness, pain, personal growth, just embodiment, your identity, fear, anger, love, a lot of these topics that are huge and heavy and complex, he covers in such an approachable way.
Yeah.
Like, you could be of any age or any faith or lack thereof and still receive a lot of awesome wisdom and enjoyment from this. Mm-hmm. I think he's very self-deprecating in his humor, which makes it even more digestible.
Well, the importance of this kind of stuff is that there are so many ways that in a relationship, this isn't about you and the other person. There's also a big part of you and your relationship with yourself.
Yes.
And I think that some of the pieces that and knowledge that Ram Dass like divulges in this book and other resources is that he does, like, it's that the significance of the self work, the time to be with yourself and okay with that. Because I think it is in our society, we're used to being 100% available with everyone. We have someone's going to text you, call you, ding you on like all your freaking messaging apps or email you. So you're like, in a sense, always available and within contact. And it's like, so do we ever get moments to truly be alone and to be okay with that? And like actually be introspective, not just, you know, spending time for yourself and then someone calls you and then you're immediately switching modes. But like, what does that look like? And so that's important because that also directly impacts how you interact with other people. Your relationship with self, if your relationship to yourself is shit, it shows up in your relationship in all the ways.
So true. Yeah. Having a great relationship with yourself and improving your own self-awareness will increase your emotional skills and your ability to be in a relationship in a healthier and more mature way with another human. So this book can be one of the many things in your toolbox to build those skills and enjoy listening at the same time. And, you know, if you can encourage your partner to listen to it too, even better, right? Because then you can have this shared vocabulary, a shared experience about this topic. For example, I listened to this audiobook while on a road trip with my partner, and it was so incredible to get into that headspace and laugh together about the jokes that Ram Dass makes and then pause it and discuss after each section, like, whoa, like that was crazy when he talked about this, and that really reframed the way I view my own depression, and it was just really awesome. So I think y'all would enjoy it, and it's a great stepping stone to other things that are similar to it.
Yeah.
We love recommending books to you on this podcast, and we want to make it super easy for you to use these incredibly helpful resources in your own love life. That's why we've teamed up with Audible, which has thousands of titles of all genres, which you can listen to while driving, cleaning, cooking, or any other activity. We don't judge. If you sign up through our link, you can get one free audiobook and one free month trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/headoverfeels.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks for tuning in.
To submit your question, go to our website, headoverfeelspod.com.
Also, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at headoverfeelspod.
Please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and review in your podcast app of choice.
See you next week.